Let's give him a clap, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Wow, it's great to be here and to see faces that I have known for a long time, most of whom I'm happy to see, and new faces. So thank you for inviting me. Greetings from Carolyn. She'd love to be here, but she's preaching down in Hamilton. So if you've got a moment, you might want to just say a prayer for those listening to her. It's okay, she's saying the same thing about me. So she sends her greeting. Freedom Christian Church sends their greeting. Guy, Kate, thank you so much for inviting me. Guy, that was a great reading on Revelation. You know, because it is. We do what Jesus did. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. And if I'm allowed to chase a rabbit, it's a great passage. And the English doesn't do it justice, because John is looking at the throne and he's interacting with God. And then for a moment, he looks away. And when he turns back, where the Almighty was is a lamb looking like it was slain. And it's part of Revelation explaining to us who Jesus is. But I'm not preaching on Revelation. Can we stand together? Lord, I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for this building. And Lord, I want to ask your blessing upon this congregation, upon this assembly. Lord, upon every person that's here and those who would normally be here but are away for whatever reason. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon them. We pray that they might grow. Lord, that they might grow in you, that they might grow in numbers, that they might grow in wisdom and in love and in impact in the society around them. Lord, we pray that there will be healing found in this place. Lord, we pray that there will be provision in this place. And Lord, as every church seeks to find its way into the future, we pray that you will bless every step forward that this church takes and every plan and every opportunity. Lord, we pray that this church will be blessed and will be a blessing to its community. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I thought you were going to stand for the whole sermon. Wow, Waiuku. So we were here for about 11 years. And then we moved down to Hamilton. And the church down there is going really well. It is awesome to be back here. Are you ready?
Yes.
So I'm doing Enoch. That was characters in the Bible, Enoch. And the title of this sermon is Being Enoch. The subtitle is kind of like Walking with God. So, just four verses. This is Genesis chapter 5. When Enoch had lived 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Together, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and he was no more because God took him away. Just four verses. In Hebrews, we get another two verses, and they're kind of important because they're verses that we quote all the time. They're verses that are very famous, and whenever we quote them, we never mention Enoch. We kind of forget that these verses were written of him. So this is Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. And then we get one more verse in the book of Jude, verse 14. Enoch, The seventh from Adam prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. It's a controversial verse. In fact, speaking for Bible scholars across the world, everywhere, we really wish Jude hadn't said it. In fact, there's a delegation of us that are going to search him out in heaven and have a few words. We might find out why later on. What we know about Enoch is that he walked with God. We're told that twice. He walked with God. And these short verses tell us more than we think they're telling us. So if you'll let me, I'd like to spend the next, how long was it, hour and a half? I'd like to spend the next half hour examining these verses. If you're not happy about that, well, too bad. So what do we know about, it's nice to hear the kids, isn't it? You know, that's always been a trend in this congregation. You know, you could always, wherever we put the kids, you could always hear them. And you will know there is perfect order and harmony and peace in a graveyard. And nobody wants to be a graveyard. And it's really awesome to come into a place where there's life. So whenever you hear the kids screaming out the back, don't complain. Thank God. It really, and it's awesome to see how well you guys are doing. It's awesome to see what you've done with this building. And excellent. Names in Genesis are always important. Names describe characters. So Adam is Adam because he's taken from the Adamah. Adamah means soil. It defines who he is. So if you want to translate the name Adam, you might want to translate it as earthling, or human, or as some people have, mudman. According to my parents, that described me very well between the ages of 3 and 5. Eve is Eve, because Choveh, it's the mother of all living things. Cain is Cain because he is the first capitalist. He wants to acquire. He wants to have more than everybody else. That's what the name means. And Abel is Abel because he is chaval. He is that word meaningless from Ecclesiastes. He leaves no footprints. He has a short life and is gone. Enoch probably means dedicated. But it's got the idea behind it also of chinuch, which means education. So maybe wise or clever, dedicated. What we know about Enoch is that he was dedicated to God. His life was about being dedicated to God. In fact, somebody described Enoch as the first person that God liked in the Bible. And there's some truth behind that. And if you want to be Enoch, if you want to model yourself on who he was and be the kind of person that pleases God, you need to be dedicated. Being dedicated makes you 1/10 of an Enoch. Guess how many points there are in today's message? 1/10 of an Enoch. Be committed. Be dedicated. Give yourself for God. Because that's what it means to be Enoch. Here I am, Lord. And I'm going to spend my life serving you. Here I am, Lord, and I'm going to do your will. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means to live that out on a daily basis of being dedicated to God. It's an easy word. Yes, I am dedicated to God as I spend my life doing my own thing. And it's very easy to say, Lord, I dedicate my whole life to you. But really, you get to dedicate your life to Jesus one day at a time. The word is easy. The doing's a little bit more hard. So the next thing we know about Enoch is that he didn't always walk with God. He started walking with God at the age of 65. That's me in 4 years' time. I'm planning to start walking with God then. Being a Christian isn't automatic. He started to follow God on the birth of his son. And maybe that's because the birth was traumatic. Maybe it's because something happened. Maybe his wife nearly died. Maybe the baby nearly died. Something traumatic might have happened. Or maybe, like so many others in Genesis, his family was barren. But there was something about the birth of his son which made him think differently, that made him factor God into his life. Being a Christian is a great lifestyle. And there is a good Christian lifestyle, and you don't always need to be a Christian to have a good Christian lifestyle. It's a comfortable lifestyle. Actually, faith in God is a natural thing to have. And it's not like it's something strange. It's not like it's something forced onto human beings. It's actually built within us. It's a normal thing. I imagine that's what it was like for Enoch too. But there came a day when he realized he needed to walk with God. Being a Christian is not automatic. We need to be born again. The day that the reality of God came home. And maybe that's you. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you've spent your life coming to church, and it's never actually dawned on you that God wants something from you, and that you need to commit your life to him, and that you need to start that process of walking with him. And if that's you, or if you've already done that, that makes you 2/10 of an Enoch. For those of you who are looking at your watches, now you know how long the sermon's going to be. It's easy to have an armchair faith. It's easy to cruise through life without ever really facing the reality of God and the need to walk with God. And maybe for the first time you've thought about that today. And maybe you need to realize that there's a closer walk with God. Because our experience limits our expectation. And if you look at your life and how you've been over however many years it took you to get to here, and you think, well, that's what it means to be a Christian, that's all there is, you won't go on to find a deeper relationship with God. And there is always a deeper relationship with God. So step forward and start to walk with God. Enoch walked with God as a father. He walked with God amongst the obligations of ordinary life. And most of us don't see our faith in God this way. You know, I'd really like to do the Enoch thing. I'd like to walk with God. I'd like to be that kind of person. If I didn't have to work from 9 to 5, if I didn't have all of these obligations, if I didn't have kids, if Netflix wasn't so darned interesting. I remember back in the day, here in church, I won't identify the person, they're not here this morning, and they phoned me up Saturday night, "Pastor, I can't make it to church on Sunday. I need to wash the dog." I don't think they even had a dog. No, I'm sure they did. There's always something else to do. And it's like Enoch is looking at us and saying, you don't have that excuse. I walked with God among all of my other responsibilities. So do you. And we get this idea of spirituality, that spirituality is something that happens divorced from reality. That, you know, it's not really a part of real life, and the highlight of spirituality will be to go off into some hermit cave and spend all your time alone with God, and then you could be truly spiritual. And you'll realize That's a crazy idea. Spirituality is every day of our lives. It's in everything that we do. It's not a withdrawal from the world, it's an engagement with the world. So Enoch walked with God with 101 other responsibilities that he had. And that's what we're called to do. And if you can see your life that way, and if you can make a decision that walking with God is something you will do at work, that you will do in your family time, that you will do at every moment, that makes you 3/10 Enoch. Well done. The next thing we know about Enoch is that God took him. He didn't get to die. And that's in stark contrast to the rest of the book. Because one of the lines that you'll find in the first chapters of Genesis get repeated time and time again is, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And then you get to Enoch and he didn't die. He went to be with God. And he got raptured. Like kind of one out of two people in the entire Bible. Him and Elijah are the only people who failed to die. One of my colleagues says that he is brilliant at doing funerals. He has never had a funeral that's failed yet. Death isn't our goal. You know that famous hymn, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way," it's a brilliant hymn. And it's written out of a genuine experience that the author had in losing his family in a shipwreck on the way out to the mission field. And there's a great line in that song, "The sky, not the grave, is our goal." Got my funeral sorted out. I've got the epitaph on my tombstone figured out. Pastor Ray passed away. Some of you are laughing because you're hoping that's soon. We're not looking for our grave. We're looking to be with Christ. And when we do, that's when real life begins. That's our aim. And this life will be like a dream. And maybe you have had the best life ever. Maybe your life has just been incredible and you've just breathed through everything. Within 30 seconds of being in heaven, it will be forgotten. And maybe your life has been the opposite. Maybe you've struggled. Maybe life has been an absolute nightmare for you. 30 seconds into heaven, all of that will be like one of those dreams that you can't quite remember when you wake up. That's where we're aiming. Ironically, how long did he live? Does that strike you as an odd number? That's a solar year, isn't it? So Westermann, famous German theologian, kind of said this is a magic number. He said what we're being told here is that Enoch lived a full life. Even though his life was shorter than any of the others around him, he lived a full life. He made the most of every moment. And you've got this real parallel here. He's got his eyes fixed on eternity, but he's making the most of now. And that's a challenge for us. I want to have a boring life. I want to live a life that's full. I want to do all that God has for me. I want to die with no regrets. I want to make sure that my life counts for something. And if you can hold those two in balance and have your eyes on eternity and make the most of your life here on earth, make it count for something, make it count for the gospel, that makes you 4/10 of an Enoch. Walking with God here fits you for walking with God in eternity. It's really cool. The next thing we know about Enoch is that he pleased God. Like I said, the first person that God actually liked. I don't think he liked Cain very much. And this is a theme that runs through the New Testament. live in such a way as to please God. And that's the goal of my life. I want to please God. I want the things that I do to please God. And if you can do that, if you can live in such a way that your life brings glory to God, that makes you 5/10 of an Enoch. Halfway. Well done. The next thing we know about him is very obvious. He lived by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Like I say, we don't even realize it was talking about Enoch. But Enoch is the pin-up boy for living by faith. He trusted God in everything he did. When you put money into the offering, money that you could have taken and spent at McDonald's, the Scottish restaurant, you're doing it as an act of faith. You're trusting God. You're saying, I can actually depend on God for my future. When you sacrifice time working in the church, doing whatever it is that your part in this amazing congregation is, you're trusting God and you live by faith. Living by faith isn't, you know, quitting work and expecting other people to look after you. Living by faith is what you do every day. God gets involved in everything you do. Every time you pray for someone, you're living by faith. Every time that you communicate with God, you're living by faith. Every time you take a need that you've got and you give it to God, you're living by faith. And if you can do that, 6/10. One of the other things we know about him is that he prophesied. We don't know that he was a prophet, but we know that he prophesied. And you know, Acts chapter 2. Sons and your daughters will prophesy. In fact, Peter misquotes Joel. I was going to say Joel misquotes Peter, but there's something wrong with that. Peter misquotes Joel because he actually uses that word and they will prophesy twice. For us, that means moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy there is a catch-all for the gifts of the Spirit. And it's saying that when you move in the gifts of the Spirit, you're being like Enoch. But there's no mark for that one. There's more here. There's a growing realization over the last sort of 20 years, 30 years, that the Bible is a narrative. It's a story. And that books like Revelation are not made up of a whole heap of stories thrown together at random. They're actually planned. They've actually got purpose to them and they've got meaning. And you might have noticed that this phrase, to walk with God, has been used before in the book. Anybody know where? Excellent. It's always good when the pastors know. Anybody else know? Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, in the ruach of the day, the day when the time when the wind comes up in the evening. He walked with God. But then something went very badly wrong. And Adam decides that he doesn't like God's instructions. He doesn't like all the decisions that God has been making for him up until this point. And he will choose for himself independence, moral independence. He will make his own decisions about what is good and what is bad for his life, what is good and what is bad to eat and to do and to spend his time on. This is what it means to be human, to make those decisions, to decide for ourselves without God telling us. And God gives him the freedom to do that. Very expensive freedom. And that relationship with Adam is broken, and God no longer walks with Adam. But in the seventh generation, remember Jude told us, seventh generation, Enoch gets to walk with God again. Something is restored. And in this broken, sinful world, you can have a relationship with God. You can know him. In fact, it's only in a world like this that faith really gets to shine. And you really get to have a genuine relationship with God. But there's more to it than that. Because one of the tricks that Genesis likes to play on us is the idea of what's called a foil. So we've got a bunch of heroes in the book of Genesis, right? People like Abraham and Jacob and Joseph. All of them have somebody put next to them who's not quite as good as they are. So Abel has Cain, and Abraham has Lot, and Sarah has Hagar, and Tamar has Potiphar's wife, and Isaac has Ishmael, and Esau has Jacob. You get the idea? There's always two people put together. Well, it turns out that Enoch also has a foil, but you probably haven't figured out who it is, because it's kind of obscure, because Enoch is the seventh in the line of Seth. But there's another line coming down from Adam, and that's the line of Cain. And there's also a seventh in the line of Cain. And his name is Lemach. And he is the person that invents polygamy. He has more than one wife. I did a funeral for a lady a month ago. She comes from Africa, and she was 87 or something like that. And she was actually part of a polygamous relationship. Never done a funeral for somebody like that before. Never actually met somebody that's been part of a polygamous relationship. Wish I'd known while she was alive. Could have asked all kinds of questions. The penalty for polygamy in New Zealand is two mother-in-laws. Now, that's a risky joke to tell because a bunch of you guys are mother-in-laws. It says that he kills a young man, for the Hebrew is pagah, and it means to knock. So a young man knocks into him and he kills him for it. And he boasts about it to his wives. He says, if Cain is avenged seven times, then I am avenged 77 times. And it's like in the seventh generation, you get all the chickens coming home to roost. And you get Enoch, who once again learns to walk with God. And you get Lemach, who is totally depraved. That's the world we live in, isn't it? And in this world, you can walk with God. But you'll notice there's a difference. Because it says of Adam that God walked with him. So who took the initiative? God did. But it says of Enoch that he walked with God. So who took the initiative? Enoch did. And that's the same for us. If you want a relationship with God, it's something you've got to do. He's already done everything he could. He's already reached out to us, especially in the cross. He's given us all the tools that we need. And all it requires is for us to pick those tools up and say, yes, I will do that. And the verb here, yes, there is time for a Hebrew lesson. The verb here is an odd verb, because the verb to walk in Hebrew is very common. It's a very frequently used verb, means a lot of things. It's the holech. But in Hebrew, there are seven verb families, and each verb can develop into one of several of these verb families. And the verb family that the word is in here is chitcholech. It's the reflexive. It's something that you do for yourself. So a good translation was he walked for himself, or he motivated himself. The NIV translates it as faithful. He made a decision that he would do this. It wasn't a haphazard thing. He made a decision. And if you'll make that decision, if you'll decide that your life is going to be walking with God, that makes you 7/10 of an Enoch. The word hitcholech gets used elsewhere in Scripture too. Because if you have a servant and you walk before that servant the way that Abraham walks before God, that's the same word that's used. So if you'll make the choice to be obedient, to live by faith, to follow Christ, to serve him, to obey him, That makes you 9/10 of an Enoch. I've missed 8/10. I think it was the previous point. How are you going to walk with God? The New Testament talks about walking in the light. We're called to walk in the light. Brother Lawrence, writing in the 17th century, he was a monk. He wasn't a monk. He was a wannabe monk. He worked in the kitchen. He wasn't even a proper monk. He wrote a series of letters to somebody explaining his spirituality. And basically he said, God's all around you. God's involved in everything you do. God is a part of everything you do. And when you're peeling those potatoes, did I mention he was French? I'm not trying to put you off him. God is there. And God can actually help you with what you're doing. So to walk with God means to walk in God's presence. And as you're walking down the road, God is a part of what you're doing. So when you see a grumpy person walking towards you, you know, just wait till they get alongside you and then say, "Hi, Pastor Ray." When you see a grumpy person walking down the street, Lord, I wonder what's going on in their life. Lord, you know. Please work in their life. Please draw them to you. And when you're working in the office and you're trying to figure out a difficult situation, you can actually say, Lord, show me what I need to do in this situation. Help me with this. Because that's what it means to walk with God. It's not something you can do alone. If you walk with God, you've got to walk with God. He's a part of what you're doing. Brother Lawrence called this practicing the presence of God, realizing that everything we do is spiritual, and realizing that God is with us and can help us in everything we do. And if you can do that, that makes you 10/10, the full Enoch. So be Enoch. Live his life. Be the kind of person that God likes. Be the kind of person who makes now count for eternity. Lord, I want to thank you for this amazing group of people. I want to thank you for this amazing church. Lord, for such a history and such a future. And Lord, I pray that this church will be filled with Enochs. People determined to know you, to let you into their lives, and to walk with your presence so that others might find you. In Jesus' name, amen.